Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Abby Farrell and it's a wonderful chat. I got introduced to Abby by a former guest, Nick Corbin of New Street Adventure, who set up a new record label, Big AC Records, and one of his first signings is Abby. So we talk about the upcoming release, and we also talk about all the usual gubbins, and we go into all the songs that have been important in Abby's creative journey this far. Before we get on with the episode, just a couple of thank yous. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and my buddies at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. And also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then go and have a look in the archives when you've finished listening to today's episode and get stuck into some of the 200 or so shows now that are available featuring my chats with the likes of Chuck D from Public Enemy, Chic, blimey, actors such as Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, James Lavelle, you can hear me chatting to James Lavelle, Butch Vig, there's a stack, so go and have a rummage in the archives and see if there's anything that tickles your fancy. I'm sure there will be. And also you can support the podcast in many ways. You've got the option to support us via Stripe, which is in the bio if you you click this on Acast. And as well as that, if you'd like to get access to 4 extra shows a week, radio shows which feature a mixture of songs and chat from myself, then you get that and video episodes and all sorts of stuff over on Patreon. And it's the Patreon that really helps kind of keep this podcast moving, because it is a labour of love. So from as little as about 80p a week, you can support the podcast and get a whole body of stuff each week, as well as access to, you know, a good few hundred shows in the back catalogue as well. So you can find out all about that and all about, you know, merch and everything else that we're up to on www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Let's get back to today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Abby Farrell.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
We are recording. How are you doing, Abby?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, feeling good. Had a nice little walk today. I've been working from home. So, yeah, it's been a nice, wholesome autumn day. How are
Lovely.
You?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right. I've not recorded an Off the Beaten Track for a few days, so I'm looking forward to talking about records. And
me too.
So how difficult did you find it to whittle down your answers?
I found it really tough. I felt like I had quite a few contenders for each one, spanning lots of different genres as well and relating to different parts of my life, especially the clubbing one, because it's like that could mean clubbing in my 20s, it could mean, like, you know, when I was a lot younger. So it was really tough, but I found as I was, you know, had a little bit of time to think about it, and I think I've made the right decisions. We'll see.
We will see. Okay, track one. What do you regard as the song with the greatest ever intro?
So I feel like I'm cheating with this one, because it's not technically an introduction in that it's not all instrumental on the introduction, but I've gone for Somebody Else's Guy by Jocelyn Brown, because I just absolutely love this song. It's a song I've sung a lot since I've been singing, sort of over the last, God, like 12 years now. It always gets a crowd just in the mood to party. Just a complete crowd pleaser. And I think because the intro is so long and drawn out and it's got that build and it's got like those gutsy piano chords underneath it, when that like fun little drop comes in, it makes it that much more impactful and just makes you want to kind of groove. So that's definitely a real feel good song for me. And it's taken on a bit of a new meaning in my life as well, because it was the song that I sung at a jam night back in February when I first met Nick Corbin, who I've co-written, who you spoke to a little while ago, and who I've co-written my next single with. And it was sort of the song, one of the performances, because we were sort of seeing each other perform for the first time. It was one of the songs that we sort of bonded over, and it was a talking point and, you know, just sort of got us chatting about our love for soul music, really. So, yeah, it kind of takes on different meanings at different points in my life, and I just think it's a wicked tune.
And so, I mean, just to sort of fill in the blanks there as well, Nick was on the podcast episode come out a while back. I sort of came across Nick through him fronting New Street Adventure at the time, and he's since gone on to be called stuff as himself, aside from a band. And he's set up a label, Big AC Records, which he's named after a New Street song, I believe.
Yeah.
I got approached by him and said, I'm working on this amazing record with this amazing young lady. Would you talk to her? So I was like, send me some stuff. Let's have a listen. And it must have been good, because we're here and we're chatting. And you've just been kind enough, literally about 15 minutes ago, to send me the new single. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be on here, actually. Obviously, you've had some greats on this one. I was listening to your episode with Mick Talbot earlier, and the other day I was listening to the episode with Mel C. So, you know, it feels like a complete honour and excitement to be on here. But we're really excited for everything that's to come with Big AC. And it's lovely just to have something to focus on at this strange time, I suppose, a sort of creative collaboration between myself, Nick and Sophie. So, yeah, good vibes all around.
So how do you feel, like, up until you've been working with Nick, had you generally sort of found, like, songwriting something you do on your own, or have you always kind of worked for people?
Yeah, a bit of a mixture, really. So I released my first EP late last year, and the songs on that were a real mixture of songs that I'd written independently, but then co-writes with people that I'd met either at university — I went to uni in Birmingham — or people I'd met in London that then eventually sort of joined me in my band in for live gigs and things like that. So it really varies. Songwriting is either a very sort of solitary thing for me, where I just go into my own little zone and just see what comes out at my keyboard. So it's quite a new thing. Although I have co-written with people before, it was quite a new thing to work with someone a bit more established who already had an artist project. And I already had an artist project, but kind of someone who's very much kind of on a certain scene and is doing really exciting things and that can bring new opportunities to myself, where I've potentially not had those before, because I've been starting out, I suppose. Yeah. So it feels lovely in that sense.
Wonderful. For track two, Abby, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yeah. So some of these songs, I feel like I grew up on so much soul music from the 60s, so much Motown, and you would think that one of those tracks would be, you know, one that had a sort of profound, like, emotional impact on me. But the one I've gone for is actually a pop tune. So I've gone for The Voice Within by Christina Aguilera. So when I was little, I suppose I had two types of influences, and that was the sort of soul stream, the sort of 60s and 70s soul and rock stream coming from my mum. who would always have tunes playing in the house. And then my brother at the time, he's 11 years older than me. So at the time he was, gosh, whenever this song came out, when The Voice Within came out, I was 8 and he was 19. So I would also get this stream of kind of these strong female pop singers that have also, I think, impacted my writing and probably my vocal delivery and that sort of thing as I've gone through and as I've performed more. But I remember just being like 8 years old and being sat on the floor, like where I am now, which this used to be my brother's room. It used to be like all blue. I remember being sat on the floor, finding this Christina Aguilera CD, the Stripped album, that he'd obviously bought with like his first job, his first set of wages or whatever, and thinking, oh, I'm going to give this a go. And The Voice Within, I remember putting it on and the first line is literally, young girl, don't cry, I'll be right there when your world starts to fall. And I remember I was quite a shy, reserved kid, and I remember hearing it and thinking, oh, I feel really reassured and I feel really looked after and I feel really seen by this. It sounds really cringy now. I look back and I'm like, oh, that's really cringy. But when there's this really glamorous, established singer who's, you know, staring back at you on the CD cover, because I'm 26, but I still come from that generation of like buying your music physically. Mm-hmm. I just remember feeling really comforted, and it's such an uplifting song that got me thinking as well about the idea of selfhood and the idea of, you know, there is this kind of little voice inside me, and there is, you know, just that idea of that idea of kind of not knowing who you are, because you don't know who you are at 8 years old, but just cottoning on to the idea that we've got a self inside us, and you know, we've all got kind of hopes and dreams and ambitions and things. So that really struck a chord with me, and it was one of the songs that I would then start to sing in my own time as well. So one of the songs that I would practice to, and then sort of, you know, got my confidence up and whatever in the house. I think I sang it at a school talent show when I was like 11 or something.
How was that?
But even when it, all right, I think, yeah, it's kind of scary. I was very shy when I was younger, so it took me a while to kind of build up my vocal confidence, I suppose. But I just remember it kind of really, really striking a chord with me, and really, it was the first time as well that I thought that perhaps I might want to sing one day. Being 8 years old was sort of the first time I remember, you know, first time I remember thinking that. And I saw Christina perform live last November. And when that song came on, I just wept, because it sounds so like wet and silly and cheesy because it's this massive pop song. But it just reminded me of everything I wanted to do when I was little. And I grew up in quite a small village, which is lovely and, you know, really like supportive and lovely community. But so I grew up in a little village called Tiddington in Oxfordshire. It's where I am now for lockdown too. And it's lovely, like it's a really supportive community. But when I was much younger, I definitely couldn't wait to get on to something bigger, to get to a bigger city, or to get to, I mean, I studied in Birmingham and then I've lived in London for 3 years.
Why is that? Yeah. Is that was the very essence of me setting this podcast up, and hence the name Off the Beaten Track was, you know, the initial kind of focus for this podcast was going to be, I was going to do this regionally, because living in Essex, you know, we're on the cusp of London, but so many people that I know that have, you know, whether they're bands, whether they're artists, photographers, they move to London. And I'm always fascinated as to why people do that. You know, is it like, why did you, was it opportunity?
Yeah, so I finished uni. I studied history for 4 years. I bloody loved it. And the first job offer I got, lo and behold, was, I mean, I've always loved music, and I was either going to pursue like a almost like, you know, artsy museum assistant route for post uni, or I was going to go after like label assistant music industry kind of junior role. And the first job offer I got was for an internship at Sony Music. So suddenly it was like, oh, they want me to start in October. So I'm gonna have to move there. I very much went to London to, well, in the first place to do that internship. And then throughout that year, I had a wicked opportunity to assist on lots of different releases for their roster at the time. I was doing a little bit of singing, but not a great deal. And throughout, I was kind of thinking to myself, I'd much prefer to pursue that artist route rather than being on the sort of operational marketing side. So that was really pivotal for me, I suppose. It's kind of, you know, initially went to London for that job offer, and then I've just stayed put where I've met lovely people along the way and had musical opportunities and stuff. So, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, let's go back for track three. The song reminds you of your time at school, please, Abby.
Yep. So this one is really special to me. And actually, it's strange because I was thinking to myself, you would think it would be like a massive pop tune. So I was at secondary school between 2005 and 2012. So there were massive tunes like Umbrella by Rihanna and, you know, Halo by Beyonce. Like most of her massive albums were out when I was that age. But the one that really sticks out in my mind and that actually takes me right back whenever I hear it is Son of a Preacher Man, the Dusty Springfield version, because it was one of the first songs that I ever sung live. And it was the audition song, or one of the audition songs that you could choose from when you were auditioning for the school soul band, which was kind of the main musical opportunity out there, if you were musical at all. And thinking back, it's kind of bizarre because, I mean, I'm sure there were like mini orchestras and things, but we just went to this, it was just this normal, like ordinary comprehensive in like Holton in Oxfordshire. And like, there mustn't have been much budget at all. But what I find amazing is that there was this 10-piece or 11-piece soul band that you could audition for. That would meet every Friday afternoon. You had like 2 hours in this big drama room that stank. I don't know why drama rooms always stink so much. So I remember my music teacher saying, you know, a few of the singers in the soul band are leaving school. So we've got a few slots opening up. Do you fancy coming along? Here's the audition song list. Learn one of these. And I think it was like, I Wish by Stevie Wonder, Son of a Preacher Man and something else. And I picked Preacher Man because I knew it from my mum playing it around the house since I was tiny, and I thought, well, I'll give that one a go. Just the intro and the warmth of it takes me back to standing in this, like, you know, this great big drama room with some of my best mates. But also it takes me back to the the sheer nerves of like being this shy little girl who knew she wanted to sing somehow, but wasn't quite sure what was going to come out of her mouth at the time, because that's really how it felt when I got started.
You didn't exactly pick like an easy song to start with either. It's quite ambitious going for Dusty, isn't it, right from the off?
Well, this is the thing, but I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, this one's a bit more of a chilled one, so you know there's nothing too taxing in there. And now I'm thinking, bloody hell, like that was bullshit of 14-year-old me or however old I was. So that just takes me right back to the nerves and that feeling of, can I do it? Can I pull it off? Like, are all the mums in the audience going to
Did you
like
deliver it?
It
with some dusty drama as well? Was there flamboyant dusty hands and stuff?
Definitely not.
The reason was, I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary on Dusty on the iPlayer. It's phenomenal.
Yes. And yeah, love that one.
Just hearing about the fact that, because I'm a huge Dusty fan, and like, and hearing about the fact that she'd have the lyrics on the back of her hand, so when she'd do these big dramatic things, it was all the words on her hand, which I thought was amazing. What a vocal. So, I mean, I was about to say, like, you know, was the creativity sort of encouraged at school? But I mean, the fact that there weren't just like, you know, a kind of little sort of four-piece school rock band, there was a 12-piece soul band. I mean, that's impressive. Comprehensive, that's amazing.
Yeah, like thinking back to it, I don't know how it started. Like, was it one person who just stood up one day and was like, the school needs this thing? But it was like, I think it was in its like fourth or fifth year of existence by the time I came to be in it. So a lot of, so like the older kids that were like 17, 18 were on their way out. So it made way for us younger ones to kind of come up through it. But yeah, I'm still really grateful for that actually, because I don't think I'd have got the bug as much without it, or I wouldn't have had a platform at such a young age with limited resources. Because I come from a low income family, so it's like there was always room to sing at home, but like I wasn't having piano lessons or dance lessons or all of this. It was very much like, you know, it was that free opportunity that just gave me that platform and gave me that outlet when I was a dot. So yeah,
you said you was a shy kid, and like walking out on stage and singing Son of a Preacher Man, I mean, you know, for a lot of people that probably wouldn't even see themselves as being shy, they would see that as something, I could never do that. Did you have confidence in your abilities though?
I think so, yeah. I think there was, my initial confidence probably came from the fact that my mum, like I said, like my mum had played the song a lot. I knew that I could carry a tune because I'd sung a little bit in like primary school, in plays and things. But also weirdly, the comfort of having that many musicians behind you was brilliant, because you know that even if, I remember thinking, you know, even if I can't make this note as loud as possible, you know, there's like a four-piece brass section over here. So, and I'm with my friends. So it was a really supportive atmosphere. And I always felt like my music teacher, he was called Dr. Foster, I always felt like he had my back as well, when he was sort of an advocate for, you know, get up and sing. So it was a gradual thing, really, getting that confidence.
Track 4, the first song you remember buying from a record shop. A record shop. You're 26. A CD shop.
I know. This one's tricky because, and I honestly feel like such a phony, like listening back to all these, you know, these incredible first-hand accounts of your guests talking about, you know, going into a record store and buying Baby Love and whatever. and here I am, like, muggins. So there's one that, it's a tricky one. So I can't actually remember going into a record shop, which would have been like HMV on Corn Market Street in Oxford. I can't actually remember going into a record shop to buy something until I was like in my teen years. When I was, so in my early teen years, I was listening to a lot of like The Cribs and White Lies and Everything and Foals. I had a real like indie phase in my early teens. So I'd buy quite a lot of those albums in HMV, and I remember kind of stocking up on the back catalogues and things. But the first CD that I actually owned was Spice, the first album by the Spice Girls. And I can remember it being really, really important because my, I mean, I was just like a massive, massive fan. I think any little girl, like, you know, mid to late 90s would just go absolutely berserk seeing them on the telly. I was obsessed with Sporty Spice. honestly, like I just got so excited. And I still remember that excitement of just like sitting in the middle of the carpet downstairs in the house I'm in right now. I'm just like staring at Top of the Pops. Like, oh my God, like this is just so special. I want to be up there. And, you know, and I remember my nan and granddad coming round on Friday nights for tea, and my nan sitting in the corner of the room, and like I'd get her to pretend to be the DJ and she'd press play on the album. And we'd just bop about to, I think the singles on that are like Wannabe, Say You'll Be There, Who Do You Think You Are? Maybe one other that I can't think of. And we'd have these plastic echo microphones and we kind of just bop about together. So that's the first one that I actually owned. But the first one that I actually, I think, asked to buy with my pocket money, probably in like Asda, was Baby One More Time by Britney, which I had on a little cassette. We've probably still got it somewhere. And I remember taking it into probably my like year one class at school and being so proud because that was such a banger. So yeah, the female driven pop music that was around sort of, you know, from the tail end of the 90s to probably the mid 2000s was what initially got me hooked on, you know, melodies and pop hooks and just so excited, really.
So would you, you know, as somebody that, you know, as a singer-songwriter, when you'd hear that, would you start to kind of work out, you know, what you liked about it? Oh, there's a hook there, that's a hook. And, like, you know, would you sort of almost deconstruct the songs and start to sort of work out how these pop songs were put together?
When I was younger, you mean? Do you know what? I think I did, because I remember being very aware of structure from a young age. So knowing that you'd have an intro and then you'd have like a verse and then you'd have, you know, probably a pre-chorus that was like a little bit more exciting and it might be, you know, a third, like, I mean, I didn't know it was a third above like whatever the melody was to start with, but, you know, it would be a little bit different and then that you'd get like a real main event in the chorus. So I definitely tuned into that. And it helped that my mum was playing a lot of, Dusty, Eva Cassidy, Aretha Franklin, Carole King, Dinah Ross and the Supremes, massive Motown compilations. So I think I did tune into how songs were structured, but didn't necessarily know it at the time, I suppose. Yeah. It's really strange. And I've always been fascinated by pop hooks and how, I don't know, like how they can just, when you're writing as well, how they can just come out of nowhere and be really impactful.
I think it's absolutely, go on, sorry.
Just like to answer your question, yeah, I think I probably did have some awareness. And I remember thinking to myself, probably at about 8 or 9, thinking like, oh, because I used to write poetry, thinking how might I turn this into a song or how might I put a melody to this? But yeah, it's really weird how then that just kept building and building to where, you know, the songs I'm putting out now, I suppose.
Well, I guess between school and now is generally the point where you start going clubbing and for track 5. I mean, you're 26, you've got every right to be clubbing constantly.
Oh, no.
The song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
Yeah, so I did the majority of my clubbing to date. I mean, I wish I could be out 3 nights a week now, but lockdown. Not saying that I would be if we weren't in lockdown, but I'd certainly be going out.
It's nice to have the opportunity to, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I do feel like the later part of my 20s are like slowly being robbed by this horrible lockdown.
Honestly, Abby, my daughter's 18 on Wednesday.
Is she?
Like, what are you going to do? Why would you want to be 18 in the middle of lockdown? Literally can't go out at 18 on her birthday. Oh, rubbish.
Bless her. That's really tough because you do just want to do something mental to mark the occasion.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, bless her. Oh, happy birthday to her, though.
Thank you.
I'm sure you can think of something equally special. Yeah.
Right. So I want to know a song.
Yeah. So I've picked Starships by Nicki Minaj, which, like, I'm not a Nicki Minaj fan. It's not something I feel passionate about. But every time I hear this, it takes me back to the summer of 2012, which is the summer I was 18. And I had a group of about, I think there were about 20 of us in total, sort of extended group of mates from school. And we sort of just stuck together. And probably about 12 or 13 of us would go out most Saturday nights to a club called Wahoo in Oxford, which was a total shithole, like a total sticky floored, too expensive drinks. It's just horrible, horrible place, but it was the place to go. And I just remember this being the song of that summer. And it was, you know, when I started sort of going out that April, as soon as I was 18, that was the song that would always be on. I think it came out like that February. And it just reminds me of being stood in a circle with some of my closest mates that I'm still friends with now, you know, probably like 8 Jägerbombs down, wearing like not enough clothes and just having the time of our lives. Like, we didn't even get hangovers because for some reason at 18, I could just drink anything and be like, oh, I think I'll have some of that now, which has now changed massively. But yeah, and then it also just became like the song of our summer holiday to Malia that summer.
Of course it was Malia.
which I'm ashamed. I'm so like ashamed to, yeah, admit that we went on this like massive just like raucous holiday. But every time we hear it now, like say if we're sat in someone's mum's living room when we're all back, you know, if we've got like an old playlist on and this comes on and we're sort of halfway through a bottle of wine, it will be the difference between us having a civilized evening in and being like, fuck it, we're going out, like, come on, let's go. So it's quite nice, and it just reminds me of that, how strong those friendships still are from all that time ago. And, you know, one thing I've noticed through my 20s is that people come and go in your life, and not everyone is kind of like a permanent fixture, which is, you know, whether it's love's lost or, you know, friends that you drift away from or whatever, which is really sad. But it's, this song is like a reminder of those enduring friendships that I've still got. So yeah, just reminds me of my schoolmates and having good times and drinking too much Jägerbombs.
Well, wonderful answer. That's a lovely answer. Okay, we're going back to Oxford. Favourite song from an artist from your home county? I mean, you've got some good stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, so I've picked Moving by Supergrass, because Supergrass actually went to my school, although it will have been years and years and years before me, and they've probably got like kids my age, if not a bit younger now. But it was always a thing at school. Like, it was always a thing the school said, like, Supergrass went here, so, you know, there's a great musical sort of trajectory for you if this is the way you want to go. And I remember my brother having the album that Moving was on, and I think Pumping On Your Stereo is on the same album. I think he had it in, like, I think it was like 1999, and he had this like little blue Mini that was his first car. He'd just learned to drive. And I remember him playing it in there. So it's Moving soundtracked a lot of my like car journeys when I was tiny, and we had that newfound freedom where my brother could drive. And it's strange because it reminds me of being able to get out and about, because my mum didn't drive. She still doesn't. So we relied on my dad a lot to get about, but he was always working, and we grew up in this tiny remote village. So as soon as my brother could drive, it was suddenly like this newfound freedom where we would, you know, go and visit my aunties. And it sounds really really silly now, but when you're a kid, you're like, oh, this is so cool. My big brother can drive. So moving reminds me of having that close relationship with my brother when we still do, but when we were diddy. But also of the excitement that, like, you know, this band had made it and they went to my school and I've got no idea who they are. And, you know, I've never met them and I don't have a connection to them, but cool. Like if they can make it, like maybe I can.
And they made it very young. Like I saw Supergrass. They used to be called the Jennifers. Pre-Supergrass.
Vaguely know this. Yeah.
And I saw them at an NME gig or something in London in the early, I suppose it would have been maybe 93 possibly. And my mate's got a photo of that night, and Gaz just looks like he's just literally finished school and walked straight from school and gone to the stage. And to discuss moving a little bit as well.
Mm.
I mean, that's a really, like, I think that's the song, because the first Supergrass album, Moshikoko, I think is an absolute masterpiece. Oh, I think Supergrass are an incredible band, full stop.
Yeah.
And we're literally in the process of playing again, and it was all happening for Supergrass pre-lockdown. And I was hoping to try and get to one of them shows. But Moving, for me, it's quite a strange sounding song. It's two songs to me. It's like, because that opening, his voice is delicious, and just that, you know, them long notes, and then it just drops to like a kind of like, then like a jolting kind of, like a stomper, and it just, I just think it's a really good progression, that song. Like, I think it was possibly second album, I'm not sure. And it was in it for the money, Moving, wasn't it? I'm sure. I don't know. But
I don't know the chronology that much, because I remember Snapshots.
And I should know, because I guess I'm 47. I was kind of like in my prime then. You've got no need to know that. You're 26. You probably weren't even born. but it's a really, like, it's a proper game of two halves, that song. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, and that's what I love about it. It's, you know, you've got those sort of soaring strings and really soft kind of, soft but kind of becoming louder vocals in those verses. And then suddenly, and then like a crescendo before the chorus, and then you just get this like funk breakout jam of where it's like really keys driven and some fun little pad on the keys. And it just, I don't know, it just like really energizes me. And the way it all blends together as well just blows me away. And I think combined with the nostalgia of that time, being tiny and, you know, having a lot of love for my big brother, it just makes it a real winner for me. So I'm glad you like it too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You got some great bands there. You know, I mean, I'm of an age when I caught Supergrass early on. And then obviously the Radiohead, you know, thing was huge. And And Ride, you know, Ride are one of my favourite bands, and they're Oxford boys. There's a lot of good
That's
stuff
the thing.
Out of Ride.
Out of Oxford. Yeah, like it's weird thinking of bands that come out of Oxford, because obviously you've got like Foals as well, who were a real sort of, you know, contemporary for me. Like when I was 13, 14, they were playing these incredible shows at the Carlin Academy, and I'd end up at some of them. Like you say, you've got Radiohead, Glass Animals as well, all sorts. But Supergrass just stuck out for me, and that particular tune.
Great choice.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Final song. You can play DJ now. The song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please, Abby.
Yeah, so I struggled with this one as well, because there were two that I was torn between, one being like an old sort of soul tune that I wasn't sure how big it was. But as for something that's really resonating with me at the moment, an artist I really admire is an Irish singer, songwriter, and now artist called Ruth Ann. And the song I've picked is called Take What I Can Get. And basically, I discovered her a couple of years ago I think I was on a flight to Berlin to see my friend, and I'd saved this random like discovery playlist on Spotify. And her song called, she had a single called Liquid, which popped up. It was a real melding of like old school soul, little bit of 90s R&B, but brought like really into the present with the production. And so I started following her, and she released her debut album, Matters of the Heart, late last year. So I think she's like in her 30s, but this is the first point where she's actually launched herself as an artist. And she spent a lot of time writing for massive artists. So she's written for like a lot of big US and UK pop stars, and had over the last couple of years just decided to sort of launch her artist career, where she had all these songs that she wasn't using, and she's a beautiful singer. And this particular song is, so it's piano driven. It's got these gorgeous backing vocals, and it's kind of about feeling powerless when someone you love is quite obviously backing away. I just find it really moving and really arresting. And she's a great role model for me, because I feel like she really combines that, like she cites, you know, Alicia Keys and Carole King and Aretha as among her influences. But then she also kind of grew up through the 90s. So she's got this real kind of modern twist on things as well. And there aren't really many role models singing in a similar range as I am for me to look up to. And the fact she's a little bit older than me as well kind of shows me like, wow, you can be a soul star at any age. Like this is so, you know, this is really exciting. I just really admire her, and particularly admire that song, because it's just incredible. It's such a kind of pop ballad, but there's so much substance to it. And one particular arrangement that I love is a video on YouTube, and it's the song performed live at the Church Studios. I think she's got like a string quartet in there and like four backing singers, and it's just gorgeous. The vocal is incredible. So yeah, for anyone that admires any kind of soul music from like 60s to the present, I'd say get on it, because I don't think she's well known enough. She's definitely influenced me in this sort of chapter of starting to release more music. So
Will get a chance to listen to that, because I've put together a Spotify playlist to accompany all of these podcasts. So all of the tunes that we've been speaking about will be on there. Abby, before we come to a close, let's talk about the new record. So it's out when?
Yeah, so I Will See You Through is out next Monday. As we're talking now, a week today, but by the time this goes live, it will be out in the world. 23rd of November. Yeah. So I'm really, really excited. We've been putting in a lot of hard work to try and get it to as many ears as possible. And like I say, it's just been lovely to have something to focus on at this strange time when we're all locked inside again. So a week today, that'll be out.
It's, you know, aside from the fact you're sitting in front of me, it's a wonderful record. It sounds so good. You should be super pleased with it. It sounds amazing.
Thank you.
And if people want to find out about what you're up to, Abby, where's the best place for them to come and check out what you're doing?
I would say probably to give me a follow on Instagram, which is the platform I probably use and update the most. So I'm at Abby Farrell Music. We've got this song coming out next Monday, and then another track called Empowered, which is going to be out early next year. And excitingly, we should be following it up with a vinyl, like double single as well.
Amazing.
So there'll be something like tangible for people to hold on to as well. It's a really exciting time, and I'm feeling really grateful for the opportunities that are sort of coming my way at the minute. Just got to keep writing more tunes. So yeah.
Wonderful. Abby, it's been an absolute pleasure talking records with you. Thank you so
much
for your time.
I've loved it. Thank you. I've absolutely loved it. It's been brilliant. And I'm really honoured to be on your podcast. So
best of luck with everything. Thanks loads, Abby.
Thank you.
There you go. How lovely was Abby? A wonderful chat. Honestly, I know I mentioned it towards the end, the new record is stunning. So ensure you go and have a little listen and get behind it, buy it, stream it, share it. all of that stuff. And yeah, so thanks to Abby for that. Thanks for the introduction. So to everybody at Big AC Records, keep an eye on that label. I'm sure there's going to be a whole wealth of exciting stuff coming from there, because there's some very, very talented people in Nick's world, and I look forward to hearing the output from that label. Thanks to you lot for listening and supporting. As I mentioned at the beginning, if you'd like to support this podcast, obviously every Monday and Tuesday and Friday you get your free episodes, but there is a Patreon as well, and there's a stack of shows there. So if you'd like to support the podcast, head over to Patreon, because it does help me to keep kind of putting out the amount of podcasts I'm doing at the moment. And you can find out about that and everything else to do with this podcast on offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. Stay safe, lovely people. See you soon. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.